Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Michael P. McCarthy. Once again,
good
a doubleheader.
I feel like I'm here all the time these days.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man. It's my lucky weeks. And anyway, we're here on an open show. Well, you weren't here with me last week. I was here doing charity show before Thanksgiving. But you were with me the week before that, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're on an open show. We're back to open shows again. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question. You know, we get a lot of questions on Social Security. Because, you know, I mean, I bring Social Security experts on. And they're probably more knowledgeable than I am because
right.
That's what they specialize in. But I think I can hold my own in Social Security questions. And so if you want to call and ask about Social Security, 410-922-6680. We can talk about you had estate planning. You've been doing
estate
a lot of that.
Estate planning and end-of-life planning and what to do, you know, preparing for a transition.
So you use two terms there that probably, you know, we should hit the button on. You have a little button,
right? Oh,
yeah,
the bell. Explain what you mean.
Yeah, explain what you mean, end-of-life planning. What's happening when you're doing end-of-life planning?
So you've come to the conclusion. We all know the way our plans end. We
right.
just don't know when. Well, every once in a while, whether it's a blessing or a curse, you get to know that yours is coming up pretty soon. The end of your plan. That's how we talk about it in financial planning. When is the end of your plan? So when you have the benefit or curse of knowing, unfortunately, that the time is near, you have the opportunity to maybe make some last-minute changes to make sure that everything is ready as best as it can be.
And that your family has the best economic advantages to what happens afterward.
Absolutely. Now, there's also a lot of stuff in estate planning you can do to make sure you're ready on a number of fronts well in advance.
Right.
We talk about making sure your loved ones know your passwords and your digital stuff.
But the thing you were doing with this client is very interesting, and we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
But we do have a caller online, but I want to let everyone know. If you want to call in, you have a question, 410-922-6680. We were saying Social Security, estate planning, income tax planning. I've been doing, can't tell you how many tax analysis I've been doing over the last month.
Yep.
And we've been doing an enormous amount of Roth conversions. If you haven't been talking about Roth conversion with your financial advisor, you need to find a new financial advisor. Anyway, we're going to Rob in Mount Washington. Rob, how can we help you?
Okay, this is a wash sale rule question.
Okay.
I have two qualified retirement accounts and two regular investment accounts.
Okay.
All of which have equities, and never mind how it got that way. But so my question is, I have, let's just take, AT&T, because that's an easy one. Everybody, I have it in my qualified.
Okay.
And in my non-qualified account.
Okay.
It's gone down. So I want to now, in the non-qualified account, I could sell it, take the loss, right? Tax,
That's correct.
Off against some gains. Now, if I buy it back within 30 days, then I cannot take the loss. Is that right?
Correct. 30 days before or after.
So if I already bought it, and then it goes down within 25 days, I can't take that loss. Is that right?
Correct. So, but let me give you another example of this. So let's say I have AT&T in a brokerage account that's not an IRA, all right? And I'm losing money on it. And I have an IRA that is pre-tax, and I buy AT&T on November 20th. And then on December 3rd, I decide I'm going to sell that AT&T in my brokerage account because I want to take that loss this year. Well, that would be a wash sale because you had bought it before 30 days that you sold it. Therefore, it would wash that out, even though it was a different account.
Well, in not only a different account, but it's tax-wise a different account, right? It's not like you have two IRAs.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where
matter, huh?
Right, doesn't matter as long as if you buy that stock 30 days before. Let's say I sell AT&T at Fidelity in a traditional IRA, or I'm sorry, in a brokerage account, and then buy it over at Vanguard, and neither of them know that I own AT&T. It's still a wash sale, even though you won't have a brokerage firm telling the IRS it's a wash sale. It's still a wash sale.
I mean, how is that clarified? Whose responsibility is it to?
Well, if it's all done in the same brokerage firm, they report it to the IRS as a wash sale on their 1099 composite.
And how about if it's not in the same firm?
Then it's up to you to report it.
I'm sorry, what's that?
It's up to you to report it.
Okay. So that's if if I buy it in the retirement account, and then now let's say I sell it in the retirement account. Let's say because I've got it in both accounts now. If I sell it in the retirement account, but then I buy it in the non-retirement account, is that? I mean, the retirement account there isn't a deduction.
Yeah, there's no potential wash sale there because there's no tax advantage in the sale in the retirement account.
Gotcha. So it's only if you do the non-retirement account sale first.
Yeah, it's easy to trip yourself up on this one.
I'm sure a lot of listeners.
Absolutely, because you know I remember once we did a tax loss harvest, and we went in, we tax loss harvest, and we got all these tax losses, but then we had a couple clients who had new money come into retirement accounts. They bought into the model portfolio that we had within 30 days of that harvesting of those losses, and those couple clients had a wash sale because what their models were buying were the securities we were selling over here to realize the tax loss, and so it caused the wash sale. It's easy to trip up on, you know, because it's hard to monitor if you've got multiple accounts. And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I understand your question. It's a great question. And a lot of our listeners have no idea what you and I are even talking about.
But it's huge money involved, really. So
can be.
Now if I understand, which I just recently learned, but you correct me if I don't have this. If let's say I flub up and I do a wash sale. That denied amount, whatever the name for that is, you know, the loss you cannot take, that amount would get added back into the cost basis on a future purchase? Is that right?
Correct.
So yes, I would lose that immediate deduction.
Right.
I would lose but it gets added back in. So later, let's say I buy it too soon. I screw up. I buy it too soon. Then I sell it later.
You're back to where you want to be.
So have I actually lost?
Well, here's where you could lose. If you buy in the retirement account, okay, and sell in the brokerage account, and if you don't buy it back in that brokerage account sometime soon, you're never going to be able to, you know, get that basis back again. So there's where you could make a mistake and really never get the advantage of the loss.
If you do it in a
retirement account, right?
What would the order again be?
You buy in a retirement account that causes the wash sale in a brokerage account. So if you don't buy it back in the brokerage account, the loss that you just lost, you'll never recover.
If I don't buy it back in the Royale. So I got to just beware so I don't screw that up.
Yeah, I got to run because I got to do traffic. But this is a great, great topic, and I appreciate you bringing it up, Robert.
Maybe review it for everybody because I'm sure a lot of people messing it up. Thank you, sir.
Take care. We got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated? Are just a few of the many parts of the physical. The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
How much longer do I have to wait until I start getting Christmas songs? Isn't this the Advent season? You know? Now, this doesn't sound like a Christmas song, does it? Okay. Anyway, we're on an open show tonight. 410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. 410-922-6680 if it's Social Security you want to talk about? Great. We can answer that. You want to talk about estate planning? Great. You want to do some income tax planning? Talk about that. You know, or investments, IRAs, Roths, insurances, auto, home, life, long-term care, whatever the case may be. If you have questions, we're here to answer them for you. 410-922-6680. Do Mike and I a favor and help us out here tonight. 410-922-6680. Those who call in early always get the most attention. So, Mikey, you were going to explain to everyone end-of-life planning.
So end-of-life planning. And the specific thing that we were considering today with someone was we knew the person was going to pass away soon, and they have large amounts in a retirement plan of some sort that's accessible.
Pre-tax.
So the thing that immediately hit me that we needed to look at is what is the tax brackets that the descendants or the beneficiaries are in, and what is the tax bracket of the parent who's passing going to be in, especially in their final year when the most money that will ever be spent on any of us medically is most likely to be in our final year.
Well, not to mention that this person just got sort of diagnosed with this in the last few weeks, right? And they say maybe 6 to 8 weeks that they have potential, right? So if they take them into the first 2 or 3 weeks of January 2021...
We've got 2 years.
We got 2 years, but the only taxable income they'll make in 2021 is in those first 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
They won't get any Social Security. They won't get any pensions. They won't get any interest. They won't get any dividends. All they'll get is the conversion we do to a Roth IRA.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things. So the best item, if you can do it, is the Roth conversion, because now we're going to take and we're going to put that money in the best form it could possibly be in, tax-free forever, though they'll have to take it out because it'll be inherited. But that's the one move. But there's also just the idea of, let's say that person, like let's take my mother, when she was passing away and it started to be clear, she had an inherited IRA.
Right.
So that was a great opportunity to say, like, hey, let's take that money out of the inherited. I can't make a Roth conversion, but let's take the money out of the inherited IRA at her tax bracket and not at my sister and my tax bracket.
And she had plenty of medical bills and long-term care bills.
Plenty of medical bills and things to offset that.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, we had a couple clients a few years ago that they both were diagnosed early in the year, and one passed away late January, the other one passed away late February. We did Roth conversions for just enough money that basically that $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 was pretty much converted to tax-free Roth, tax-free.
Right.
In other words, we had enough deductions and so forth, and it was the only income they had in the early part of the year that we were able to do it completely tax-free. But this is a strategy that is overlooked tremendously.
Well, you know, one of my biggest fears, and this happens all the time, people who don't know the tax planning like we do, they, for whatever reason, they have this immediate thought that the right thing to do is to start moving assets out of the person's name.
No.
Right.
No.
So just as important are things you can do as things you don't do. Don't take highly appreciated securities and things and start moving them to the children's name so that you don't get the step up in cost basis.
Yeah, I mean, there's tremendous amount of things that can be done, and you just need to know the rules in order to take advantage of it. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. We're coming to the end of our first half of the show. You want to be on the second half of the show and ask any question, 410-922-6680. Rebecca in Pennsylvania, how can I help you?
Hi, there have been shows on TV lately about how you can kind of basically do it yourself financial planning, and I'm leery of it, and I just would like your opinion.
Well, I'm biased. I got to make that clear right off the bat. If your situation like TurboTax is incredibly simple, it could be very beneficial. But clients come to us all the time with TurboTax returns thinking they've done a magnificent job, and we point out amazing amount of mistakes that were made, and they're just shocked. And we say, well, you think TurboTax is omniscient, and it's not. And, that's where, an individual planner comes in. If they are comprehensive in knowledge, they can do a lot more than the online financial planning. Go ahead, Mikey.
I'm chomping at the bit. So there's three major things that, again, recognizing that we're both going to be biased on this, there's three major reasons why I think you're not getting everything if you do an online financial plan. The first reason is if you don't know the financial planning for real, then if you put something in the software and the software comes out with a bad result, you won't know.
Right,
we
that's
use software,
TurboTax.
And we have to fix the software all the time because the software didn't do it right.
Right.
But luckily we catch it because we know. The second big reason is the do-it-yourself financial planning is primarily going to be a retirement saving and spending plan. That's what it's going to focus on. It's not going to figure out if your insurances are correct. It's not going to talk about deductibles and savings on that. It's probably not going to talk about your taxes. The third, and some people would argue the biggest reason, is the emotional aspect of financial planning and financial decisions. The computer is not going to do a good job of talking you through your emotional aspects.
Yeah, and the other thing, Rebecca, is that, like in our firm, we don't charge anything for the financial physical if the person didn't feel it was beneficial to them. And we do that just because you go and do the online financial planning. If it's great for you and you come to us and we can't do anything better for you, we say, hey, look, what you're doing is fantastic. Keep going.
Well, and one other point on that is one of the reasons that we don't charge if the person's not satisfied is because there's a lot of financial professionals out there that will say, oh, yeah, I'll do a financial plan for you as part of this, and I'll do it for free. And all they're doing is plugging your information into one of those programs that they may or may not understand, and they're not comprehensively looking at everything. So when we want people to do it, we want them to do it so that they experience the difference.
That's what it's all about with us, okay?
May I ask you a follow-up question?
Yeah, go ahead, real quick.
Okay, real quick. I'm going to ask real quick, but it may not be a real quick answer. I'm the last trustee of a trust fund, and I have gotten conflicted advice that either I can stay the trustee or I have to change it. I don't know what the answer is.
But I'd have to know what kind of trust it is and what's the purpose.
It's a family trust, okay, and I'm the last.
Who left the trust? Your parents?
My in-laws and my husband.
Okay, and so you're the trustee, and you're the final beneficiary of the trust.
Correct.
So why are they telling you can't be the trustee? I mean, does the trust say you can be the trustee?
See, that's just it. My lawyer, I've gotten conflicting advice, so I don't.
But what does the document say? Who's the trustee?
The document says everything's left to me.
I know everything's left to you, but your question was who can be the trustee, right?
Yeah.
So what's the document say about who's the trustee?
No one's told me that. Maybe
it's in the document. It says it there. If XYZ dies, then ABC takes over. If ABC's not there, then ADDD takes over. And if nobody's there, the former trustee is designated a successor trustee.
So there's no horrible tax consequences if I just leave it alone and I'm the surviving trustee and beneficiary?
I would have to see the situation to be able to answer that question for you.
I got you.
Real quick, I'll just say there are reasons that I could play out in my head that people would be telling you that to get various different types of benefits from the trust or because of various types of concerns? What if
is the lawyer asking to be the trustee themselves?
What if they're worried that when you get to a certain age
you're right about that. Yes.
Yeah. So there's reasons why someone would say that, and they're not necessarily nefarious. You know, they could be helpful.
But she's saying that the lawyer's saying that he ought to be the trustee. Now, I'd be very concerned about that.
Yeah, you'd get good trustee fees out of that.
But if I saw the situation, I could answer your question better. Gotcha. But it's a complicated situation, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, Rebecca. We're on Open Show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, nobody's online. Hopefully you'll be here when we're finished with traffic.
To more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
That's Christmas.
That's quick turnaround time there,
but
Chris.
But what is it? Oh, the old good King Wenceslas. We're here on an open show listening to Christmas carols. And if you want to call and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. There's nobody on the line, so you get to be the guest. You get to direct the conversation. Feel free to call in.
So we were talking about end-of-life planning, and we talked about Roth conversions, and we were just finishing up talking about not giving away, not just transferring assets. One of the real principles there in end-of-life planning and in any big change event type situation is thinking and acting slow.
Right.
Don't make big changes until you've got time to think about it.
And you got professional advice to know that what you're doing is correct. Because what you're saying is a very common problem. They think, oh, we got to avoid probate. You know, we got to avoid probate. And so what they do is they turn around and they start changing the title on things. And, you know, like you say, that's probably the worst thing you could possibly do. But yet that's the whole advice that they're getting in the independent living facilities.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the hallway advice.
The hallway advice, you know? It's free. It's better than us, you know? It's perfectly free, Mike. You know? Go ahead. You got a caller? I do have a caller.
Let's go to the caller. Let's answer caller questions.
All right. We're going to answer Jim's question. Jim in Baltimore City, how can we help you?
Yeah, good evening. Always enjoy listening to your show. Just a quick question to get, and I know you've spoken on the topic before, but cryptocurrencies, where, you know, there's a lot in the news now and people are looking at it as a hedge and how it can go up and everything. And just would like to have your perspective. That's all I really wanted to hear.
Yeah, so it's a great question. So let's explain to our listeners what a cryptocurrency is. It would be like you hear the name Bitcoin, okay? So basically, they're using this super mathematical algorithm that only has, what is it? Is it about 2.2 million, I think, Bitcoins you can create?
There's a limited number
of Bitcoins.
That can be mined.
But it's based on a mathematical algorithm.
And now, you get it by...
Here's the fascinating thing. Each Bitcoin can be broken down into 100,000 pieces. So one Bitcoin can be broken down into 100,000 slices. So you could have 1/100,000th of one Bitcoin. So if you multiply that out, 2.7 million times the 100,000 different slices, it actually comes up to like a quadrillion types of Bitcoins that could basically be created. So here's your point, Jim. This is a great question, okay? So the concept that the cryptocurrency people say is that there's a limited amount of Bitcoins, and therefore the demand will always be greater, and therefore since the supply is limited, a Bitcoin's just going to keep going up in value, especially if the dollar keeps going down in value, okay? That's the theory behind Bitcoin. But here's my problem with it. Number one, anyone can create a cryptocurrency anytime they want to. And governments like China and many other countries around the world, even the United States, are looking at cryptocurrencies and creating their own cryptocurrency. So, and China's actually right on the precipice of beginning to offer their cryptocurrency. If governments who actually have a military, who actually have financial assets, start to offer cryptocurrencies, why would somebody want to own a Bitcoin that has no theoretical value of any sort, no protection other than this mathematical algorithm, and anyone can create a cryptocurrency in a moment?
And what do governments do when people try to compete with them?
Well, that's always a good question, too.
Yeah. I mean, the government hates these things because they can't, they don't have as much control over tracking. And it has contributed to crime and
well, the number one reason that Bitcoin is going up is because of the criminal element that uses Bitcoin for their activities. So when you hear like Baltimore County school system was ransomware, do you hear that right?
Yes.
Okay, so what ransomware is they hijack their computers and encrypt all the files. And they say, if you want them unencrypted, you're going to have to pay us umpteen numbers of bitcoins. Why do they ask for bitcoins? Well, because if the bitcoins are sent to a Bitcoin account somewhere, that account can be perfectly secret that nobody knows who actually owns those bitcoins now. Not like if somebody, if they said, you know, send me your credit card number and we're going to charge you umpteen dollars, you'll know exactly who that person is. If they say to them, write me a check, they're going to know exactly who that person is. If they say, take a bag full of money and put it out in the wilderness somewhere and we're going to come get it, they'll be able to track and figure out who picked up that bag of money, well, not with Bitcoin.
And on a flip side of that, the other thing is they the Federal Reserve would lose its power.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, can Bitcoin go up? Can it go up to 100,000 like somebody just said recently? Bitcoin's going to trade for 100,000. Me personally, I think it's worthless, but I'm not going to tell anybody who wants to buy it not to buy it, because if there are enough people that keep wanting to buy the silly thing, it's going to keep going up in value. But you already have, I don't know, there's probably, what, about 50, at least 5,000 different cryptocurrencies
yeah, it's a lot.
Out there.
I don't know the number, but
you know,
it's quite a bit.
I mean, I can think of at least 5 or 6 of them right off the top of my head that are created. So, you know, I don't understand. I don't understand my grandchildren who pay all kinds of money to build Roblox and things like that. I don't understand a lot.
Roblox,
you know that game?
No.
Where he pays money and he buys things and he builds things in this virtual...
I thought he was trying to, you know, gunk up $6.95 or something.
He builds things in this virtual world somewhere and he spends hundreds of dollars a year or a month, who knows? I have no idea why
people
do...
Sure, he likes Grandpa talking about it on the radio.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know. It doesn't matter. So, you know, Jim...
When you're finished, one other question about cryptocurrency.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, have you ever heard of a company called the Weiss Foundation? They're putting on a big push right now, and I don't know anything about them, but apparently they purport or represent themselves to be, you know, a long-term consultant or... a company that evaluates cryptocurrencies. Have you ever heard of them at all?
No, because, again, my mind is totally right, off of wanting to own cryptocurrencies. Maybe if governments start to offer cryptocurrencies, I might become more interested. But, you know, these ones that are just like the Winklevosses are the ones that are behind the Bitcoin. And, you know, those guys are an interesting group to begin with. So, now, they don't have anything to do with who buys and sells them today, but they're the ones that pretty much launched Bitcoin to where it is today. You know, Winklevosses, those are the dudes that started Facebook with Zuckerberg, and Zuckerberg nixed them.
I didn't make it all the way through the movie.
Yeah, well, he dissed them during the, you know, after a while and took it over himself. It's a long, very fascinating story. But, you know, I don't pay attention to those types of people. People that do the cryptocurrency, in my opinion, it's the criminal element that loves it, and they're the ones that are pushing the value of it up because it's a great tool to use with secrecy behind it, and that's what they love. So that's my take on it.
How do you really feel?
Thank you very much for your time. You're always excellent on
All right, Jim. Good question. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. Nobody's on the line, but we'd love to have you on the line by the time we come back from this traffic break. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBL.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And, well, we're out of the Christmas season already. So
that was a short one.
That was a short Christmas season. 410-922-6680 if you want to call in and ask a question. We're on an open show tonight. And you're the guest. And you want to direct the conversation like Jim just did. And ask a question about cryptocurrency, or maybe you want to just talk about Social Security. Maybe you have a Social Security question. Maybe you have an insurance question. Maybe you have a estate planning question. 410-922-6680. You only have a little bit of time left to call in and ask that question, but now would be the best time to do that. 410-922-6680. Mikey, what's up?
Well, I was just going to say, so we'll go back to the end-of-life planning. We focused a lot of end-of-life planning talking about what the children will need to be thinking about maybe when a parent is getting ready to pass. But obviously, there was estate planning that hopefully the parents had done in advance. But there's an aspect of end-of-life planning when it's your life we're talking about that I think is underappreciated in this world. And that topic is your stuff.
Right.
And I wrote an article about this a number of years ago because I had a very painful experience trying to handle the massive stuff. When my grandparents passed away, my mother couldn't part with any of it, so she just kept it. And I had about 7,000 square feet of stuff in a 1,500 square foot house I had to deal with. But rather than just complain about it, let me make the main point. The main point is you know your stuff. Your kids know some of your stuff. They don't know all your stuff. They don't know what things are worth. Talk to them in advance. What is it that you want? What is it that that you don't want? And if they're not going to want it and you're kind of done using it, get rid of it. Turn it into something that's useful for your family.
Right.
If you have an antique that your kids may just throw away and you can sell it now if you're kind of done with it.
Sell it on consignment and things like that, you know? And
yeah.
See, another one that we wrote a great article on was the greatest gift you can give your children, and that is pre-planning your own funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Because can you imagine?
Yes, I can imagine.
Yes,
yeah.
You can. I cannot, because everybody who has been close to me has always pre-planned their funeral. And so I've never had to go in that your father dies a week or two, a day or two ago, and you got to go into a funeral home. You got to talk to a funeral director. You got to plan out this funeral. You got to get all this stuff ready, et cetera. And you're going through a whole bunch of emotions and whatever.
Yeah.
And you got to do all this stuff. Whereas, my parents both went to the funeral parlor, went to the cemetery and said, this is exactly what I want. Something happens. This is what I want. Here, I'm going to pay for it in advance. And when my father passed away a few years ago, we went to the funeral director and he said, hey, he's already paid up. We've got it all under control. This is where we go from here.
Just make sure you consider where you're going to die.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
So if you prepay for a funeral,
you can't prepay a funeral in Pennsylvania and then move to Timbuktu,
Yep, exactly.
Because it takes a lot to get you back from Timbuktu to Pennsylvania. Hold on, we got Jeff in Ellicott City. Jeff, how can we help you? All right, let me try that again. Jeff,
hey,
how
guys,
can we help you?
I got you. I got a question for you. My mother is remarried for 30 years plus, her parents, my grandparents, left her a nice sum of money. And the money has never been in a joint account. It's been in her name the whole time. I'm concerned when she passes she said she's got some directives that state that the money go to me and my brother rather than his kids. How can we be assured of that?
Well, you can't easily if there was no prenuptial agreement done when mom was when mom got married. Number one. Number two, if your mother did proper planning still, that money could go to you. What's your mother's age and how is she doing financially?
Age is just about 80 and financially well.
So her and her new husband, over
a million.
Yeah. So how much money do you think she inherited from grandma?
About a million and a half.
Okay, and that's over and above the million or so that her and her new husband have, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So one thing she could do is start giving it to you guys. That would definitely be an answer. But, you know, there's a new Maryland law that...
And she lives in Vegas.
Oh, she lives in Nevada. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a whole different... You know, each state has what's called the marital rights. And a marital rights is where if she dies first... then the surviving spouse has a percentage of her estate that they're entitled to unless they can prove that they're not entitled to it. And that's very difficult. Maryland just changed theirs to 50%. Normally, most states is about 30 or 35%. But Maryland just changed theirs to 50%. So I don't know what Nevada's is. I'm going to guess it's probably something in the 30% range.
So we need to keep her on life support then. If she ever gets to that situation.
Well, what you need to do is be in good order with your stepfather. That would be the first thing to do, and make sure that he's in agreement that mom's wishes are his wishes as much as yours.
Beneficiaries, while it doesn't trump the marital right, it can have a lot. So
it can in some states, though, Mike.
Transfer on death. TOD.
Right.
That is something that she should register on that account as a TOD
perfect.
Account.
That's what I needed to hear. Perfect.
Yeah. And also, I would strongly suggest that you be the attorney in fact on that account also to work on mom's behalf if she's not able to, and that no one else would have the right to do that. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, guys. Take care. Good question.
Bye-bye.
Very good question.
Great question.
But you know, that's the end of life planning type stuff that has to be thought out. You know, if you had that situation, you got lots of things that we talked about, you know, thinking about Roth conversions, you know, and you hate to do that. You know, you hate to start thinking about all these financial things when you're dealing with the social trauma of losing somebody you love. But unfortunately, government forces us to do this, you know?
Yeah. I start every one of those conversations with a disclaimer.
Yeah.
That we do this for a living, so please forgive me.
Yeah, forgive me for being what might seem inconsiderate toward your emotional situation going on. But, you know, most people appreciate what we do and helping them
through. It's good that we're not upset.
Yeah.
We can help.
So, anyway, we're at the end of this show. We'll be back next week. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Mike, always a pleasure being with you.
Love it.
Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless. Yeah.